Welcome to the Dastaan Goy podcast, a collective exploration of Pakistani history and culture.
In this episode of Dastaan Goy podcast, we get to sit down with author, photographer, and storyteller Mubeen Ansari. Mubeen talks about how he got into storytelling and writing his books. He also talks about the importance of building empathy within yourself and the many experiences that came to enrich his personal story. He shares how important it is to let go and experience life in the moment without the labels we tend to put upon ourselves to understand what truly matters to us. So let's get straight to Mubeen. Mubeen, thank you so much for being on the Dastaan Goy podcast. I have been so excited to have you and get to sit down and hear your stories. I've been a fan of your work. I've seen your photography and I haven't had the chance to look at your books yet. Like, in inshallah, agli dafa jab Pakistan jaunga to I'll have a chance to look at it in front of me. But every single thing that I've seen you do, from the interviews that you've been posting, the selfie TV stuff, to the actual work that you post on Instagram, I think is absolutely remarkable. So I'm a huge fan, love the stuff that you do. And to start off, I wanted to shuruaat karni thi maine jahan se aapki khud ki shuruaat hui. Like, what are some of the stories that you grew up with that shape your understanding of Pakistan? Because a lot of the work that you do, it's related to understanding Pakistan. And sometimes I feel like it's very personal for you, where you're trying to understand Pakistan for yourself. And then because you're doing it for yourself, it really exemplifies and really resonates with more people because it's so true and it's so honest. And I really see that in your imagery. And I'd really like to kind of understand, okay, when you were growing up, what were some of those things that shaped the understanding from like the city that you grew up in to the way your parents made you grow up and taught you and the schools that you went to? What were some of the things that shaped you?
So, Abbas, thank you very much for having me on your show. It is a pleasure, and I have always enjoyed watching your previous episode. And it is an absolute honor to share my stories here with you. So, I think there are lots of ways to describe my relationship with Pakistan. I mean, it's my country. But, you know, over time, I have come to understand it more and more, more so every day. But the actual journey, you could say, began in my final year in college, because, you know, in college, I was studying at the National College of Art, which was in Rawalpindi campus, and that was always located in the heart of Rawalpindi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was sort of a political beehive, if you may. So you would always run into people from all walks of life, people with lots of stories. And at that time, you start to have a sense of political awareness as well. And you sort of become, you know, an activist in any way, whether it is an activist, maybe whether politically or from an artist's point of view. My teachers and the teachers of my batchmates were very, very political. All of us focused on political themes because the college, our college was located in Liaquat Bagh, as I was telling you, and that's where two prime ministers were actually murdered, Liaquat Ali Khan and Benazir Bhutto.
Yeah.
And so we actually had a lot of, you could say that, exposure to the society, to a lot of things. And at that time, you know, when you are in college, you know, most of the students end up questioning their, what they could do in life, how they can contribute to the society or what they can do. It becomes very definitive. For me, it was definitive to try and promote a positive image of Pakistan. And because at that time, you know, tourism was not where it is today. At that time, we were also dealing with a lot of fallout from terrorism, which actually was, you know, at the core of it at that time, you know, the Taliban and Swat and, you know, whatnot. You know, there were lots of instances which I would not like to remember. And so at that time, you know, wanting to see the great things about Pakistan was something that was such a big deal. And as a photographer, I wanted to capture it. So I started off by capturing landscapes around me, street photos. And then I realized that a lot of people have the human interest stories. And so there was one moment, one iconic moment for me. I went for prayers in a nearby mosque, and there was a gentleman. He was about 104 years old, and oh, wow. He used to be a wrestler.
What?
He used to be a wrestler, yeah. And his name was Aladat Pehlwan. And what he used to do was, he used to train wrestlers, and he used to tell his stories, you know, at a dhaba, some tea stall, and he used to say that he was a when he was a wrestling champion, he used to get tickets from Rawalpindi to Delhi and 100 rupees. He used to tell the story, and he still trained those wrestlers at that time. There was a wrestler ring behind my college.
Wow.
I should probably go back there. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, every nook and cranny of Pakistan has a story. And so I set on a journey to capture landscapes and then portraits of iconic people of Pakistan, both famous as well as unknown. So that's how it began.
This is, I mean, it's lovely to kind of see the evolution of you and understanding the political sphere. And aap sahi baat keh rahe the ki jab university mein hota hai, that's when you're most you're most vulnerable, and you're trying to understand the world, and you're trying to understand what you're going to become as a profession, how you're going to look at the world, what your personality is going to be. So I think understanding this from your perspective is super interesting. And then also taking a look at ki aapne jab photography mein bhi gaye, and you started to zone in on these little stories, like jab ye aap pehlwan ki baat kar rahe hain, unki baat kar rahe hain, that's you know, to be able to tune in to human emotion and to be able to tune in to human storytelling and to and human stories in general, jo you know sab log jab chal rahe hote hain bazaar mein ya kahin pe, you just overlook because you're in this autonomous way of being. But all of a sudden, when you kind of start to zoom in, ki aapke andar khud empathy hai aur aap dekhte hain logon ko, and you're able to really, you know, connect with them. And I find that beautiful. And aapke jo abhi tak maine jitni bhi photos dekhi hain, there is that empathy, not just in the iconic ones that you do, but also the landscape ones, also the lifestyle ones that you do of places. Now, I love how you also mentioned the iconic moments and the photographs that you took of people, because that really kind of brings us into Dhadkan, your first book, where you went around Pakistan and got to kind of take images of different people. What I would be very curious, in that particular moment when you were writing this book and when you were photographing for this book, what were some of the moments and some of the people that kind of stood out? Kyunki zyadatar hota hai na, like when a photographer goes, half the work is making the other person feel comfortable to be photographed. And that's a huge thing. Like for instance, for me as well, when I'm trying to make, like trying to podcast and trying to interview someone, if I don't feel that the person is comfortable with me, I know that it's not going to be a good interview. And once you feel that comfort level, only then are you able to dive in. And I really feel like the images that you took of Zia Muhyiddin, of Wasim Akram, of all of these different people, well-known or otherwise, there's a sense of comfort. There's a sense of ease that you as a photographer behind the camera are able to bring out. So could you describe one of those moments and one of those people that you photographed that were memorable for you?
So, first and foremost, like you were saying, the comfort level is very, very important to whoever you photograph. And I think I want to talk about that for a bit, because conversation is very, very important. So before I photograph a very famous person, whether it's the prime minister or an actor, so I always go in saying, I just need 15 minutes of your time. So 8 minutes actually going to dialogue. And I don't start shooting immediately. I talk to the person, I try to put them at ease. And I just, in the meantime, while they're speaking to me or I'm speaking to them, I look at the windows and the doors and the backgrounds and look for every possible moment, an angle that I could find there and how to make the person sit there. And once the talking time is over, then in my mind, I have maybe like Okay, 8 minutes are done. So that leaves me with 7-8 minutes more to actually do the actual shoot. And so I then go in, and then automatically, if the person is comfortable, that becomes half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours even. Because I don't want them to think that this is a full-fledged shoot with makeup artists. And so I go at myself alone, unarmed, if you may, with a large team or something, or stylist or something. So that way they feel comfortable. So everything is all about conversation. And I talk about topics that they don't normally talk about. When I was photographing the now Prime Minister Imran Khan, when I took his picture 6 years ago, that was my third time taking his picture. And I didn't speak to him about politics. I didn't even speak to him about cricket. I just spoke to him about his favorite coffee and about food and how he eats healthy. So I just talked about that. So I was able to get a different expression. So coming to those moments, I think the one that I described is just one, because that made me talk to him in more human terms.
Human terms.
So there were lots of such moments. For me, it's very difficult to choose one. So how many would you want me to talk about?
I mean, you just told me about Imran Khan, and the way you kind of made him at ease, and the images that we see are beautiful. Like, that's what I wanted to kind of understand, was your technique of how you're able to really bring people at ease. Because I really think it's one of the most important things that interviewers and photographers are able to do, is you meet someone who you don't know, lekin aap foran jo hai na unke saath empathize karke unko at ease lekar aate hain and make them feel comfortable. And I think that's a very important thing that you do. Mubeen, actually, I would like to also go into your second book, which I think is very important, the White and the Flag.
Yeah.
Jo aapne kitab likhi, Minorities of Pakistan ke baare mein. And I think, you know, if we go back to when Pakistan was founded, and one of the major speeches that Qaid-e-Azam gave, which was, okay, you know, no matter your religion, no matter your place of worship or your color, you're equal. And that's what the white and the green kind of represented, which was, okay, Pakistan is a country for everyone, and everyone can be here. But, you know, sometimes we see that minorities don't get enough of the spotlight in Pakistan. And there are so many, and one of the, I think, the most beautiful things about Pakistan is that it really is a mixture of so many different civilizations, of so many different people, whether it be Parsis, whether it be Hazaras, whether it be Punjabis, whether it be Sindhis. There's so much richness. And I truly think what makes Pakistan unique is the richness from historical reference to today, jo Pakistan ke andar hai. And sometimes I feel like in our daily lives, we forget to celebrate that. And I really love that you took the time to write and to bring to front, the minorities of Pakistan with your book. So I'd love to kind of hear your take on how that kind of, that story came about. And what were some of the minorities that you've met and some of the stories that kind of again stood out for you?
So 2 years before I was born, my father had abdominal tuberculosis, due to which he needed surgery and he needed 2 bags of blood. And his blood type is O positive. Mm-hmm. And O positive is very, 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 very rare. And so at that time, his best friend, his name is Ronald Umar Khitab. We call him Ronnie Uncle, who happened to be a Christian, gave him that blood. So he had O positive. And because of Ronnie Uncle, my father survived. And so growing up, I always had this concept in my mind because of what Ronnie Uncle did for my father, that no matter your caste, creed, fate, all blood flows the same, the blood of humanity. And I realized that. And so because of Ronnie Uncle, I had a lot of exposure to, Christmas gatherings, these Christmas dinners, Easter mass, and a lot of these cultures. And so I always have grown up in this house, which was all about inclusivity. And so my grandmother, who migrated from India to Pakistan, she was in Jabalpur, She had only one best friend in life, and that was a Parsi. Her name was Drumina Kulambawala. And now I'm talking about 1946, 47. And today used to be college mates. And so my grandmother, you know, until her last living days, used to tell me a lot of stories about Parsi cultures, customs. And it always made me truly fascinated. So when I was working on my book, Dharkan, I was also working on White in the Flag at the same time, because I started this project when I was a student. So that meant I only had a certain budget to work with. Like if I was in Karachi, I had to make sure I do the shoot for both the book. And it took time, you know, but, you know, besides my personal, you know, feeling, my personal respect for minorities of Pakistan, for how they impacted my family, like my personal life, I also wanted to celebrate the fabric of the society. Because the different religious communities, they make us who we are. And they are part of our history. And they have you know, contributed so much to the country. You know, our constitution always emphasizes on the rights of minorities. Our founder, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, always emphasized on rights of minorities. So as a photographer, I wanted to uphold that. I wanted to celebrate different communities. And so started a 7-year journey of wow. documenting different faiths, Parsis, Sikhs, Hindus, Kalash, Baha'is, Christians, lots of other communities as well. But even after the book came out in 2017, even after that, I continued doing photography, taking pictures which are not in the book, because I started to get familiar with more festivities, with more places of worship. And then Kartarpur corridor opened in 2019. Yeah. So that's, you know, so it keeps adding even today.
It's beautiful. And the whole Kartarpur journey is so beautiful. And I actually got a chance to go to Hasan Abdal during that time when the Sikh festival was happening. And it's just so nice to see everyone kind of coming together. Jahan par Panja Sahib hai, I think it's in Hasan Abdal, the Gurdwara in Hasan Abdal. It's so beautiful. And it truly is so nice to be able to celebrate and to come together and see, you know, every single thing that Pakistan has and the different kind of people and their backgrounds and what they kind of bring to kind of enrich the country. I mean, yeah. I want to kind of go in and understand some of the most memorable stories that you've either experienced yourself or gotten to document whilst you were on the road, whether for the books or for personal travels within Pakistan, and some of the unexpected learnings that you have experienced as a writer, as a speaker, as a photographer.
So I would not unlearn anything from my experiences, because I think these experiences make me a sum of who I am. And you know, I've always been somebody who's been open-minded and open to traveling, open to culture, open to trying out different things. So there was no such thing that I had to unlearn about my opinion, but rather add to it all and rather just, you know, just enrich myself. And so I had lots of experiences on the road, so many to choose from. But you could say that maybe the most memorable one was from last month or the many years that I've been going, and it was to Hopper Valley in Gilgit-Baltistan. And like in the middle of the pandemic, I just decided, you know, I just needed to, get my headspace back and just go into the extreme meditation that I do, which is rushing off into the mountains every time I feel trouble. And normally what happens is people go on an expedition or on a trek in the summers, like between April to October, but never in December, January. It is still doable, but it's not advisable. So anyway, I called up my friend Heather, who is a tour guide in the area, and asked him, do you guide to expeditions in the winters? And he said, well, you know, karna nahi chahiye, lekin kar lete hain. I said, just count me in, just count me in. And then we had to wait for the right weather. We had to wait for the snowfall to finish because winter expeditions are very, very tricky. Yeah. Anyway, I went there for about 3-4 days. And Hopper Valley is home to a lot of peaks, Golden Peak, to a lot of high altitude lakes, like Rush Lake, which is almost at 15,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
And you know, lots of such amazing places, and it's still very, very untapped. It's near Hunza. It's not exactly Hunza, but it's near Hunza. It's in the Nagar district. And so I decided to go there with a team of two to three locals who accompanied me, people to help with, you know, carrying the stuff, tents, and you know, food. So I went there, and it was so memorable because I decided to go less at the photographer and more at the person, because I've noticed that every time I take pictures, so the whole memory of me picking up the camera, from picking up the camera to pressing the shutter, I don't remember that. I actually don't have no recollection of that. I have fond memories of maybe the road trip around it, talking to the people around it, but that moment I shoot, everything is already translated into photograph. So to remember, I have to look at the photograph. I remember the moments around it. But this time I decided to go more for myself and take less pictures. And that changed everything. That got me a peace of mind. And the reason it was so memorable was because when you trek on snow, you're constantly thinking about survival. Your gut feeling becomes louder. You become more sure about yourself. And you start to realize in the larger scheme of things what actually matters. You know, because in the pandemic, small things become big.
Yeah.
And, you know, you sort of always had this autopilot, which sort of gets compromised. You know, this autopilot is a term that a friend of mine coined, and he said that it's something that gets you through life, whatever the challenges are. But in this, you know, you actually, everything's so magnified. So once you're trekking in the winter, you're trekking on ice, you're trying not to fall or slip, and you know, you're all around like minus 15 degrees, and you start to realize, wow, what a mighty thing Mother Nature is. So, and I, and you know, in the snow, in ice, in sub-zero temperatures, the entire landscape changes. For example, there was a whole glacial tunnel lasting about 1.5 to 2 kilometers. And that was amazing. That was a whole portal inside. And I had so much fun.
Wow.
And when I was there on the trek, we were actually staying in this Mongolian settlement, which were about 400, 600 years old.
What?
And it was a very, very old structure over there. So a lot of shepherds from the area, they use it to store the cattle, to store the cattle feed and everything. And sometimes they sleep there as well, depending on what season it is. And that was fascinating because I was there in the middle of nowhere. And we went to a certain point, and one of the locals told me that the graves of Genghis Khan soldiers are buried, that they're right there.
What?
I said, where? Yeah, that was crazy. And I was like, where? And he said, he pointed to a glacier that was in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, really? Why would they bury it there? So they said, they told me that the graves used to be on the top next to the villages. And because of the floods, the graves kept going, being pushed down and they were upturned. So I said, okay, let's check it out. I went down, climbed down with them. And I indeed saw a lot of remains. Even the jewelry was still there. Even a lot of skulls, skeleton, everything was preserved because of the sub-zero temperature. Everything was still in place. It was eerie. It also made me question many, many different things in life, you know, mortality and everything. And that was the perfect place for it. So I think that was very memorable. Also because then I started changing my photography style to a more minimalist style. First, when I used to do landscape, I used to think big on colors, grandness and everything. This time I decided to minimize it because when it's snowy, you have a limited color palette to play with. Then I realized snow is not just white. You can actually have a lot of tones of blue, even golden, depending on what the weather is like. So this was a very, very memorable tour out of many. I've been there so many times. I've been traveling there since 1998. So, but this is off the top of my head that comes.
It's, Mubeen, it's beautiful to hear this story. And second, also what you said in the beginning, jo aapne baat kari thi, I completely agree where, you know, sometimes we get in this autonomous way of living And what COVID and what the pandemic has done is forced you to stay and look within and be able to understand how you function. और जो आपने बात करी थी ना कि मैंने कैमरा नहीं लेके गया, I didn't go as a photographer, I went as a human. That's, I think, very key, because sometimes we don't realize, because we always have one way of looking at the world. You may be a photographer, you know, like you always look at your world through the lens. And just by making that one shift, कि मैं अपना कैमरा नहीं लेके जाऊंगा, मैं अकेले जाऊंगा और मैं बस, you know, I'm going to go as a human and I'm going to experience this. That's incredible that you had this insight and you went and you experienced this, because I can even, like, I can relate and I can just imagine the thoughts and the intricacies of that experience, because it really changes the perspective that you have when you go to this place and you go there as someone unknowing. Because, you know, we also get, when we get into this autonomous way of living, it's comfortable. Asaan ho jata hai hamare liye. Jab aap apna camera hata deta ho, ya main apna, like, you know, investing ki cheez hata deta ho, and I jump into the world in a format which is not as known to me, that's uncomfortable. That's difficult. And that makes you vulnerable. And I love how you had this insight to go in this time period, especially, and experience that. That's incredible. That's wow, amazing.
So, thank you,
Mubeen. अगर हम उसके बाद अब जाते हैं, I would be very curious to understand in जो ये जो travels हैं आपकी, and the photos that you take. One, the unexpected जो learnings आपके अंदर हुई हैं, I think you've also answered this already, but like, what would be the experience or the reaction of people when they see your images, when they see your work? What has been some of the unexpected learnings for you in terms of, you know, because as a photographer, as someone who creates, as a creator, you put stuff out to the world. You put stuff out to the world, which is true to you, but then you also get people reacting to it. And that, you know, sometimes forms your opinion, that sometimes forms how you feel about it, whether it be through Instagram, whether it be through your website. What has been some of the things that you've uncovered of how people perceive your work?
That's a great question. And that was also something that I admit I was struggling with a few months ago. You know, you go into this deep dive of thoughts when you're in quarantine and everything, you know. So what I try to do is I try to maintain this line between doing photography for myself and for others. So then I realized that, you know, as long as you're true to yourself, as long as you're true to be, you're not bored of your style, as long as you are happy by what you do. So, you know, interestingly, the reaction of the people who are, as far as, you know, at least in my case, it's always great. And they have, you know, people who follow my work have been so generous. And I mean, you know, I'll give you just two examples of where I've been touched by this. For example, you know, I get a lot of, you know, photo buys from people who buy my book, Dharkan. A lot of them are based in the United States or in Europe. And they reach out to me and they say that we want to buy your book because we want our children to know about, you know, our icons who have shaped the country and about all these stories. So that living in the US, they have a sense of identity. I'm like, wow. And then it's the same thing about white in the flag, because I want them to see the diversity and I want them to know about the inclusive side of Pakistan. And that, it's feedback like that, that really, really touches me and makes me keep going. And there was another instance when I was launching my first book, Dharkan, in 2013. I was launching in Portland at a friend's house. And he had a gathering of five, six different Americans who had no idea about Pakistan, except from my friend, what he would tell them. And so I showed different pictures on the book, and I told the story of one person who is who runs soup kitchen,
yeah.
Who runs who has Khanagar, and she feeds 2,500 women and children, and men, the underprivileged for 3 rupees every day. She cooks it,
wow.
She distributes it, she does it, everything herself, and she's so humble, and her story is incredible. When I talked about her, and then all the Americans were like, hey, we want to donate. And a lot of people, then some of them, they set up a group that they could keep sending donations to her, her setup, her to Khanagar. And if I can make any small impact, I feel very encouraged by my work. And I'll give you one more example. There was a picture I took of Hunza in autumn, and it was a picture of apricot trees through a very old door. That's one of my favorite places in Hunza. It's in Gulmit. And a friend of mine asked me to post this on her Facebook wall. And so when I asked her, sure, I will do that. And out of curiosity, I was like, was there a reason? And so she said she had cancer, and that she found a lot of hope in this picture. That if she saw this picture, she would feel either she has something, God forbid if she passed away, then she would say that this for me is like door to heaven. But if I live, then I have this place to look forward to going to. And so it's just powerful feedback from different works of mine that I've done that I feed on, that I absorb, that I get very touched by. And that's what pushes me to keep going and going, and to also go out of my comfort level. And in doing so, I am fulfilling my life's experiences, and I'm getting a story for myself. So that's what it is.
I mean, yeah, like you make my heart smile. Honestly, this is like, it's so beautiful what you just said and what you just described. It's incredible to see the reaction sometimes that people give. And honestly, sometimes the experiences that people have because of what you put out there as a creator, it's such an important job. It's such an important job to, from the early days of you being an NCA and being, prone to understanding what's happening in Pindi and what's happening in Pakistan and wanting to showcase a different perspective, to today with the work that you're doing with the books and the feedback that you're getting, and really grounding yourself and feeding off this. I think it's incredible. I think it's super important to have people like yourselves to really showcase the beauty, because it's very easy to hate. It's very easy to see the negativity and to see the bad sides. It really takes someone with a heart and someone with a passion and someone who can tap in to all of those different things and tap into human emotion and show the real beauty that exists. And I think now more than ever, we really need to understand and come together as human beings. Like, batheri ho gayi ye differences ki, batheri ho gayi ye ladai, jhagda, ye sab, wo to hota hi rehta hai. But sometimes we just need to appreciate the beauty that surrounds us, and that because of the differences that we have amongst each other, we take that and go forward, because it really enriches our lives. And I think your work is case in point for the beauty that exists in Pakistan. So thank you for what you do. Mubin, aakhri aapse sawal hai. I'd like to kind of understand, the work that you do, how do you unpack Pakistan when someone asks you to describe Pakistan? So when you were in Portland, for example, or when you were outside, how do you, as Mubin, tell people about Pakistan?
To be honest, I'm still learning a lot about Pakistan. I'm still learning about this history, people. But let me try and think about it more from from a more personal viewpoint. I was born in Rawalpindi. My parents, they hail from Karachi. But you know, when a person says, ke main yahan ka hun ya main wahan ka hun, so the first thing that comes to your mind, or even that person's mind who's telling you this, it's like they're telling you about themselves, you know, ke what their surroundings are. Ke what, you know, it's like, वो कहते हैं क्या था, मैं इस मोहल्ले से आया हूँ या मैं इस फार्म से आया हूँ, मैं या इधर से आया हूँ मैं. Now having spent all my life here, all my life traveling, I like to be the sum of all my parts. So I don't see myself just as somebody who has lived in the city. I live in Islamabad, but I don't define myself from being an Islamabadi or a Pindi boy, you know, because I was born in Pindi. But you know, I like to think of it this way, that whatever challenges I face due to my hearing impairment, so I look to the mountains for that, the resilience of people in Hunza, or resilience of people in Balochistan, the hospitality of you know, Punjab, Sindh. Actually, hospitality is everywhere in Pakistan, mm-hmm. and that's what I picked up from. And you know, different cultures that I'm from. So when I say I am from Pakistan, so I'm the sum of all my parts, not just where I was born or where I live, but where I've experienced all of this. Because I find myself going to all of these places again and again and again, and learning more in the process. For example, on Tuesday, I'm headed to Lahore to photograph one mosque which I've already photographed before. That mosque is the Begum Shahi Mosque. It used to be, it was used by the women of the royal family during the Mughal time.
Oh, wow.
And I took its pictures in 2018. And it was in a very bad shape, but now it's been restored in its former glory.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
going back there. So similarly, I find myself going back to Hunza to capture winter, spring, autumn, and in different parts of it, different colors of it. I photographed the same people twice. I photographed Abdus Tahriri three times. Shima Karmani, I photographed three times as well in like a 9-year gap. And you know, in doing so, I photographed the whole evolution. And for me, it's like a reflection of what I'm going through, what I'm going through, reflecting my lenses in the way I capture a person or a place's maturity and how they age gracefully. So I think that is how I think I impact Pakistan. There is no definitive answer because I'm still learning, but it's like a country of many countries. It's a country of so much history, and there's just so much to learn. And well, where I am today is due to this country. Where I am anywhere in the world is due to the stories that I bring from here. That's how I would unpack it to understand it.
Mubeen, thank you so much for taking out the time, and thank you so much for coming on the Sangli podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me here and letting me share my story.
Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram and YouTube for more stories. You can get in touch with us via email contact.dastangoy@gmail.com. Until next time, thank you, shukriya, meherbani, khudafiz.